warm for a while. 18 degrees on Saturday. Cooler, though, as we head through the week across all areas.
Hey,
have a good afternoon.
What's this? It's all right, Daddy's here. Come on. What's this?
You might be surprised to know that you can get de facto five-star life insurance from Aviva from just £5 a month. Yep, thought so.
Don't put it off. Get a life insurance quote today. Direct at aviva.co.uk.
Hello, I'm Gemma Kearney and I'm back for a brand new series of Sorry Not Sorry, brought to you by Galaxy Chocolate, a podcast helping you take the time to actively choose pleasure. This week, I'm joined by Emily Atack, actress, comedian, author and funny woman of the moment.
Everyone's like, oh, who are you having it off with at the moment? I'm not. I'm having it off with my career. I'm having a massive affair with my career.
Want to hear the full chat? Yeah, you do. Subscribe to Sorry Not Sorry now on your favourite podcast platform.
Watch what craftens. Watch what craftens. Who cares what happens when there's so much that craftens?
Craftens. Craftens.
Watch what craftens. Watch what craftens. Who cares what happens when there's so much that craftens? Watch what craftens. Watch what craftens. Who cares what happens when there's so much that craftens?
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Watch What Crappens, a podcast about all that crap on Bravo that we just love to talk about. I'm Ben Mandelker of The Real Housewares of Kitchen Island. New episode is up now, okay? And joining me
that's nuts.
From a safe distance of 6 feet plus a few states, it's Ronnie Karam from the Rose Pricks Bachelor Roast podcast. What's going on, Ronnie?
Well, hi, you little bean machine. How you doing, honey?
I'm so great. Tonight, this episode is a little different than our normal one. Tonight, we were supposed to be in Salt Lake City recording our recap of Real Housewives of New Jersey, but then a coronavirus came through and swept the world. So we're here at home being responsible adults. And we decided, let's keep the live show vibe going, you know?
Yeah. And, you know, usually when we come out, we say, hi, hi, Salt Lake City or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
And people go, woo. And that's like the best part. I don't know why. It's just like the easiest woo to get, you know, like, hi, city. And then the city is like, woo, they said city. So I would just like to give a shout out to House. Hi, House. What's up, House?
Wait, no, I still have to do my Utah pandering. How about that? The Jazz. No, don't mind. It's okay. Thank you, everyone. Thank you.
How about those Spicewood Buellers?
He's back. Bring him young. Am I right? Am I right? So
love you, Big Love. Best show of all time. Love you, Big Love, baby.
I was actually very bummed that this didn't work out because I've never been to Salt Lake City and I was really excited to go to it and see it. And on top of that, we were actually going to get a really cool tour of the zoo, but unfortunately that will not be happening. But zoo, we will be waiting for you or wait for us because we'll be coming back. We will come back to Salt Lake City.
Yeah, one of you got in touch with the Real Housewives of Salt Lake City for us, the new Bravo show, and asked if they would come, and they said they were on lockdown and they couldn't come. So you know what? Screw you guys. No, just kidding. Not screw you guys.
And that was even before coronavirus. They just were on lockdown.
That was when
crazy season.
That's when we're always treated like we have coronavirus. Ben and I are totally used to this feeling, okay? We're totally used to being put in quarantine by housewives. They're like, sorry,
I know.
We cannot come around you, okay? Do not breathe on us, please.
I mean, should we tell everyone about our real life quarantine? Might as well. I mean, right? These days it just seems like whatever. In December.
Sure.
Yeah, it's like, so here's an exclusive. So back in December, exclusive. Here's an exclusive to Watch
Here's
What Happens.
An exclusive nobody gives a crap about being exclusive.
Well, we didn't tell the story because we didn't want to scare anyone, but then coronavirus is like, oh, don't you worry. So back in December, we went to Denver and Seattle. And so we flew from LAX to Denver. And then about 2 weeks later, like right before Christmas, we get calls from the Department of Health saying, hi, did you fly to Denver? And I'm like, yes. Okay. Well, there were three unvaccinated children on your plane who had measles and you've been exposed to measles. Do you have you been, you know, inoculated. I was like, I'm pretty sure. But because that happened like 40 years ago, I had to like go through this whole like CSI Miami thing to find my results and everything, which I and in the process, they made me self-quarantine. And so we have...
Yeah, and
too,
it really
right?
did show. It really did show how different we are as people. Because of course we both got the call, and we were recording that day. We were back home when we were getting these calls, and Ben's like, "Oh my God, the Department of CSI, Mark Ellenberger called and said that."
Mark
I was like, "Who cares? Yeah. Ignore them. Like, why are you? That's spam." He's like, "It's not spam, Ronnie. It's like literally the World Health Organization or whatever is calling." And I was like, "Well, is it for an interview? Otherwise, tell them to stop fucking calling me. Like, I'm voting for Bernie, or whatever." And so I only knew about this because Ben told me. But then they kept calling, and I mean, they are
calling
like Bernie. They are like the Bernie campaign. They text in your ass. They calling you all the time. And so I was in Texas, right? So the lady's like, "Well, you were exposed to measles." And I was like, "Okay." And she said, "Where were you?" I said, "Well, I hugged about 900 women this weekend."
I know.
So in two different states. So I don't know if this is like the Ronnie, the Ronnie measles, the Rondles. "Hey, girl, you got the Rondles." And I was like, "So good luck tracing that, World Health Organization."
Yeah, when the Department of Health lady asked me, she goes, "Okay, so have you been in contact with many people?" I was like, "About 900 people."
Yeah, because these live shows, like, we get to meet you guys, and we meet you here, obviously, but meeting you in real life, I'm going to hug your ass so tight that you're not, like, I will sweat on you, I will hug you, I kiss you, like... There's no getting away from me. It's like Auntie Ronnie on crack, sweating out Tito's all over your blouse. Like, there's no escaping. So I was like, "Well, if I got measles, I just took out two states." So
I know. And so I actually had to, I knew I was inoculated. And the way I really knew is that when I told my mom about this, she wasn't like, "Oh my God, oh my God, oh my God." She's like, "Oh yeah, you were vaccinated." So if my mom wasn't worried, I knew I was fine. But they need to have actual proof. So what they did was they had me come in. So first of all, this all happened on a Friday. And then they were like, "Well, we're going to need you to come in and we're going to need to draw blood." I was like, "Okay, well, I've literally just driven across the city." And driving across LA, it literally took me an hour to drive in like traffic to get all the way across the city. And as it turns out, the testing place is like next door to my house. So I was like, "Well, I literally just drove across the city. Can I get my testing done out here on the west side?" And they're like, "No, you can't do the west side. You have to come back here." So I was like, "By the way, Ronnie, you're back. Okay, good."
I just realized that if my phone rings, I'm screwed. Like, if somebody's calling me, if the World Health Organization, my new best friend, calls me, I don't want to end this broadcast. So I just turned.
Yeah.
I was trying to figure out how to turn on the little moon thing on the phone. Go ahead, Ben. I'm sorry.
Oh, smart. Oh, I should do that after this riveting story. So, So the point is this. They're like, "Oh my God, oh my God, oh my God." And then I was like, they're like, "Well, you have to come back to Hollywood to do it." I was like, "Oh my God, what a pain." I was like, "How about I just come in tomorrow morning?" And they're like, "Oh, we're closed over the weekend. But you can come in on Monday." I was like, "Great, great emergency, right? Like, making me wait. Like, it's either do it like right now or you have to wait till Monday." So I waited till Monday because I knew I was fine. And so I went in there and they made me put on a mask. And it's so funny how times have changed, because I was like, "This is so ridiculous, wearing a mask." Whereas like now, of course, like everyone would just die for a mask. So they made me put on a mask in this Department of Health area. And I went in and I sat down, and the lady there was like, "Listen, we're just going to give you a booster anyway. And it's going to take 2 weeks for it to kick in, but we're just going to give it to you just to be safe." I was like, "Okay." So she gives me it and she goes, "Great, you can take your mask off now." I was like, "Wait, you just said it takes 2 weeks. Like, what is this?" The point is this. It was a very crazy situation.
It was. And involved. I was like the test, like how restaurants send people in to test the waiters to see if they knew what they're doing. I was that test to the health organization, because they called me and I was like, "Well, I just kissed 900 people." So, and they're like, "What do you mean you kissed 900 people?" And I was like, "Well, I hugged them. I sweated on them. I got Tito's on them. Like, I literally just hugged so many people." And they were like, "Well, where were they?" I said, "Two states. They're from all over." And so I'm like fucking with them, but I'm not fucking with them. But you told me not to lie to them, And so I was like, "Okay." And they said, well, where are you? You have to come in. And I said, well, I'm in Texas. And they said, why are you in Texas? And I said, who cares why I'm in Texas? I'm in Texas. Like, I'm not flying there to go to the... I said, could you have someone three come states. Here? And they said, yes, you have to stay home, and we're going to send someone over there to interview you. I was like, why? You're interviewing me right now. And I imagined it like the people who got E.T. in that movie E.T., like, yeah. they come over with white tents. And put. And this is right before yeah. Christmas, you know? So
yeah.
I was like, I'll take any tests or I'll go wherever you need me to go. And they're like, no, no, we can't. We don't know who to send you to in Texas, so we're going to have to blah, blah, blah. Stay inside! And so I did, and no one ever came. And I was like, these people really dropped the ball, you know? Like, for all I know, you know, I could have had a disease named after me. Like, if anyone's going to mutate a disease, it's my ass, you know?
Yeah.
And so I was really upset that they never interviewed me, you know? I was really offended. And so this corona thing came back, and I was like, oh, my God, it's my chance, you know? No. And then everybody is like freaking out, and then it turned into a big, obviously this really huge deal, and I was like, well, now everybody's just gonna get it. So I guess,
yeah,
you know, I get nothing named after me. It's just another fucking day in my lame life.
Yeah, remember back then, back in December, I was actually, you know, I was like all cocky about it, because I knew, and by the way, I did finally eventually get the piece of paper from my childhood pediatrician's office that showed I was immune. We both were, so if you were at that show, don't be worried. But it was funny because I was like, I'm in quarantine. I'm in self-quarantine. I was like, did you hear about that flight? Because it made news, by the way, that flight. It was like, did you hear the news
about
the New Zealand babies? So I was like, hey, did you hear about that flight with the kids with the measles? Yeah, I was on it. Not to be quarantined. Yeah, yeah. And now, like, of course, now we're all quarantined, and my specialness is gone, so.
Yeah, we're not special anymore. My mom was ready to kick the shit out of the lady in those news stories. I'll tell you that. She's like, this is fucking Christmas. I was like, well, I can't leave. And she's like, well, how long is it? You know, and I was like, Mom, I can't leave. I have to stay. And she's like, well, it's fucking Christmas. Oh, so this mother who doesn't want to vaccinate her children is going to fuck up my Christmas? Oh, we'll see about that. I'm like, what are you going to call the lady in New Zealand? She goes, I don't give a shit. I'll find her. I'll find her.
It was a big dramatic affair. So needless to say, just when we thought we'd put our dramatic quarantine things behind us, this happens.
Here but
of course,
we are.
It's really not about us. Obviously, we're just trying to bring some joy, which is why we're doing this. And in honor of this experience, in order to like summon some of the feelings of a live show, I've decided to hold my mic instead of do my usual this mic that just sits there like that.
Yeah.
And did you notice that, Ronnie?
Yes, of course I noticed it.
And I also have an alcoholic beverage. This is actually a combination of two of my favorites. It's a cold brew with rum chata. Bringing it back to rum chata in honor of this event.
Well, I did shave, and I clipped my nose hairs and my ear hairs.
Nice.
Mm-hmm. I only got half my nuts done because I was like, who is going to see my nuts? Like, we're in quarantine. No one sees my nuts out of quarantine. Like,
well,
I
what
barely
happens if
see
your phone
my
falls
nuts.
Over?
What do you mean?
If your phone falls over and we all see that you're not wearing pants.
No, I'm wearing pants. I'm a never nude. I'm a never nude. I wear clothes at all times. But yeah, I got half my nuts done, so my nuts look insane. But I was like, literally, no one's going to know about this, except that I just told you all about it. Okay, yeah. Well, that failed. Okay. Who needs your nuts done? It's quarantine. Hairy nuts. I've got one nut done and one nut not done.
Best of both worlds, right? A little bit of everything. Something for everyone. It's like Victor Victoria, right? You turn this way, it's shaved. You turn that way, it's hairy.
Well, this whole thing with us being home and deciding when we're going to shower, and like, you know, you come up with your own, everyone at home has to come up with their own rules. Like, do I have to groom today? Like, who cares if I just fart on the couch all day? Like,
yeah.
No one's, but you have to say, like, I have self-respect and I'm going to do this for me. And so I started shaving my nuts, and I was like, no one's going to see my nuts, you know? But then I was like, Ronnie, you're going to feel them at some point. You're going to brush up against them. You're going to pass them in the hallway. Like,
yeah.
Do it for you, Ronnie. Self-love.
Yeah.
So I've got half self-love, you know, which is a big step.
Yeah, it's a big step. Well, anyway, before we dive into this, something I just remembered right now is that Instagram Live has a one-hour time limit. So when we run out of our time, everyone just, like, hold your horses, and we'll start up a new sesh. So that will probably happen. So,
yeah, this will be in two chunks. And you know what? Yeah. It's always with Jersey, because do you remember we did a live show? And we had two in a row, because that's back when we were dumbasses. Mm-hmm. And we were like, hey, let's just do 10 shows and whatnot. Who cares?
Yeah.
You know,
always
like we're Liza.
This happens to.
Like, we're Liza next to a dollar slot or whatever. So we had a time limit, and of course, we had like an hour and a half time limit, and we couldn't even get the first half of a Jersey reunion episode in.
Yeah, that was when we were in Boston. I remember that because we're doing like a 5 p.m. show and there was like a punk band coming in next and we were just like going on and on and on and they were getting mad because we were just like gay podcasters and they were like, we got emo punk coming through. So, yeah, we've never learned our lesson. The truth is, we're artists. So, that being said, I'm schwitzing right now, as I may have mentioned earlier, because I took a shower right before we started recording, and I got the shower sweats, which is like the most annoying type of sweat that there could possibly be. It's like, oh, you just wash yourself? Well, guess what? I'm going to make you have to wash yourself again, because I'm going to make you sweat, even though you weren't even hot before. So that's why
I hate those. I hate shower sweats. But that's like the only time I make any effort in life is to like take a shower and like bend down. It's like, when else did you bend down today? You didn't, you know? Yeah. Okay, so I'm glad to know you got the shower sweats too, because I thought it was just a chunky person.
Oh, you don't want to see what's going on under here. It's just like, it's not good. So I guess we should probably do this recap, right?
Yeah, let's get to this recap. Why not? I've got it on all these different screens staring back at me because I wasn't sure which was going to be more comfortable, okay?
Yeah.
So I've got it on all these screens, so I'm just looking all over the place today.
Perfect. All right. Well, I'm very excited. It's been a great season for New Jersey, and I'm excited that we get this big Danielle episode to do for our live show. So the episode opens up with previously, and we just see Danielle in her dressing room doing. She has. Wait. Let's see if I can recreate what's going on under her eyes.
Oh yeah, she's got the Dr. Scholl's. Here, I'll use my phone case. She's got like Dr. Scholl's under her eyes, and here like a tripod.
She's about to play like a very new version of football. She's like, okay, let me tell you what's going on. I need a wide receiver to go far. Okay, go far. And then I'm going to sit next to you. I like your version, Ronnie.
And she's like, what are you going to put on my eyes? And Priscilla, you know, the infamous Priscilla, who's been amazing. I mean, why doesn't Priscilla get her face on the wall of Bravo? She's been the makeup artist of some of the biggest Real Housewives ever. So Priscilla, we see you. We love you. And Priscilla has so much work to do because she's got Danielle who's trying to make her backstage stuff a scene, right? And she's also just got Real Housewives face that she's trying to deal with. Did you notice she had Danielle's, like she had to grab her eye right here and she had it like lifted. I was like, you need like a light clamp from Home Depot to get that shit up, girl. Like you were fighting the good fight, Priscilla.
Yeah, it was like someone told her to turn Mount Rushmore into four Statues of Liberties. It's like, it's just, it's difficult. It's a lot of sanding down.
It is. It's a big Home Depot job. It's like trying
Theodore Roosevelt is wonderful, but he does not make a lovely lady.
Speaking of, why do I have brown teeth on Instagram? Don't I look like I have wooden teeth like an old president?
No.
Okay.
No.
So she's like, what color are you using on my eyes? And Priscilla's like, iridescent. And Danielle goes, I like colors. It's like, shut up, Danielle. You're getting your fucking makeup done for free, okay? This is the last time this is ever happening.
And she's like, I asked to be seated with Andy. It's not a plea. It's a demand who's not fully employed by this show.
So Lauren Volkanakis, I think that's how you pronounce it, is a producer. And I love that we got her whole name.
Like, yeah.
It's not just a producer. It's Lauren Volkanakis. God damn it. You better
Sounds like someone else didn't just make a plea. She made a demand for her whole name to be on screen.
I will not be Lauren V this season either. I'm Lauren Volkanakis, Andy. Which sounds like she could be neighbors with Victor Kiriakis, who's a famous Days of Our Lives character, and Jennifer
Aniston's
father.
Or Andy Milonakis. Andy Milonakis, who I went
to high school with. Or Mykonos yogurt, which is also delicious. So,
or the
Lauren,
Acropolis.
Snuffleupagus. He's an elephant.
Whoa. Wait, what's the name? What's from Picket Fences?
Jeez. Kathy Baker. Don't bring Kathy Baker into this.
No. Costas Mandalore.
Irish Finkel. Fivish Finkel.
No. Fivish Finkel. Oddly works.
Now that's a guy you shave your nuts for. Constance Mandalore. Oh my goodness.
Also, he's also in Soap Dish in a cameo.
He sure is. His little butt crack. Okay, so Lauren Volkanakis. I'm just going to call her Lauren Kiriakis because I like to think she's from the Kiriakis line. So she comes in, she's a producer, and she's like, oh, hi, Marty. Glad to see you doing Marty the way that only Marty can. And Marty's like,
well, it was just unfair what they did last year, the way they all ganged up on her, and she didn't have a chance last year. So I'm here to protect Danielle, right?
I was like, what do you mean they all ganged up on her?
Yeah.
Since that happened, she said that you were an abusive monster. What are you talking about, yeah. Marty?
He's like, they should all be ashamed of themselves. I'm like, you should be ashamed of yourself for all the hideous patterns you've subjected us to with your shirts from Van Heusen, okay? So Dan, all of a sudden there's like this noise. I don't know why they kept this in here. It didn't really make sense, but I'm glad they did because it was just so Danielle, because we just hear like a phone go off and Danielle's like, oh, that's Fendi's medicine alarm. It's like time for Fendi to receive his like Fendi medicine. And like, what's funny is that, like, the rest of the scene, whatever Danielle's saying, it's while she's also, like, wrestling her dog's mouth open and sticking a needle in there. You know, she's like, yes, yes, I do deserve to be in there because I am an original housewife. Stay calm. Stay calm. It's good. One little prick. Huh? Stay calm. I'm an original housewife. This is the demand. Stay calm.
So, just to warn you, your mic does make, like, a little noise on the earphones. So if you do have a stand, you can put it in. You might want to, because people are going to call you a monster later in comments.
You know what?
Okay?
I'm going to transition back to... You know what? I will transition back to my normal microphone. Okay, hold on. You vamp. You vamp while I do this. Vamp
and
vamp.
Okay? You know who? I love other women, right? Sometimes other women fall down. They do stupid things. They try to make coronavirus all about themselves and make up hashtags about how they're doing so much for people with coronavirus, like Bethany Frankel, okay? Let me tell you what. Bethany Frankel is a monster. All right? And if we need a cure from anything, it's Bethany Frankel. She doesn't support other women, right?
We should mention, by the way, that Ramona is self-quarantining with Mario and Avery at the moment. Although I don't know how well her self-quarantine is going, because she then took a photo at the beach this afternoon, which I know is allowed, but I just feel like it's against the spirit of self-quarantining. It's like, whoa, I'm going to self-quarantine. I'm going to do that. I'm going to go up to town. I'm going to tell everyone. Walk up to them and say, hey, and get right in their face and say, hey, I'm going to self-quarantine, okay? I can't be around people. And I want to make sure you all know, okay? So I'm going to get really close to make sure no one gets close to me, okay?
Okay. So, yeah, so she's shoving a syringe down poor Fendi's mouth. You know, like Fendi hasn't been through enough, this fucking dog in a stroller.
I know.
So she's shoving the syringe down Fendi's mouth. And then Lauren Kyriakis is like, do you need anything? She's evil because she's a Kyriakis. And Danielle's like, I have requested numerous times to be seated next to Andy. I don't care if it's the right or the left. I'm an OG housewife, and I should go out the way I came in. I was like, you should. Up a vagina. That is how you should go out. You should definitely go up some old lady's vagina as your exit. I agree. I support it, Danielle.
She literally said, I should leave in the seat that I originated. Like, what does that mean? Did you build that seat that
you originated? I originated this seat.
I created seats next to Andy Cohen. Like, the seat that I originated.
And they show her clip because she's like, I originated the seat. And so they show the clip of the reunion. She wasn't even sat on that couch. She was like a guest, like they had to bring out, and then she left.
No, she was there.
She was not there the whole time.
No,
in that reunion? Well, then how come she wasn't there in the later in the episode? Andy's like, hey, Danielle, look behind you. And look, do you remember that we did this 12 years ago? And she turns around and she's not in the picture at the reunion.
No, I thought the same thing. The reason why I thought the same thing, and then I realized it is her. It just doesn't look like her anymore. But it is and it was her. Yes, she was there.
Well, it was.
She was there.
It was the seat that she originated. Is the picture that they posted on the back wall of the reunion set?
Yeah.
Was that after she had walked off the set or something? Or was she
in that reunion? There were two women. There were two women. It was Teresa and Danielle sitting next to.
Oh, I thought they cut her out.
It just I thought the same thing. Better. It just looked like that. I looked at it too. I was like, Danielle's not there, and then I realized, oh, from that angle, Danielle looks like a perfectly lovely person. So it seems like she's not there. So,
yeah, they're saying Beverly was there. I love Instagram Live. You can read everyone's comments. They're like, Beverly was there. I like it better my way. I'm just gonna live in my little fanfic world
where
they
that.
Just cut
it's
her
fine.
Out of the picture of the reunion.
That's what's always happened to me. I've always been cut out. She goes, if I'm not next, Andy, that's fine. I'll walk.
Like, where you know, are you walking the street? Yeah, they've got her like in a, she's in a sparkling gown. Priscilla's like, lifting up the lids. They've got like shellac being poured down her throat. I was like, you're going on camera. Who are you kidding?
Is there like a special at the Macaroni Grill? I mean, where is she in such a rush to go off to? I mean, so then finally, Lauren Volanakis is like, you know what? You'll have to talk to Andy about this because this is too ridiculous. And she also probably recognizes that this will be a perfect scene for the trailer. So then we go to the main stage and we have Andy going, and we're back. Yeah. Anyway, moving on. And then Dolores goes, I have a question. He's like, okay. Teresa, since Joe's been gone, has he spoken to you better? Have you tried walking from the living room to the kitchen, back to the living room? Does it work for you? It works for me. Works for me.
Hey, Teresa's Tree, like, I've got a question for you. Is Joe still frustrated?
60 minutes with Dolores. All right.
Is he frustrated?
I'm here with Dr. Anthony Fauci of the CDC. Dr. Fauci. Are you happy?
I got a question. Style. Ma, what do you have for breakfast?
A cookie.
Cookies.
So this I thought was funny. There was a question. The question itself was not funny, but it was from a woman named Dorinda from Boise and asks about, I know you paid all of Joe's debts. How much money went towards paying his legal fees? Dorinda from Boise, does Andy Cohen realize he's being punked? By someone like, you know, that was from like Joanne from West Hollywood, right? Like that's yeah. There's no other Dorinda, and there's definitely not a Dorinda in Boise.
So how much did you pay Teresa for Joe's debts? And she's like, a lot. And he's like, a couple million. She's like, a lot. A million. A lot. All right. If that was a breast implant, how big would it be? Right? 3 pounds is a million. 6 pounds is 2 million, Teresa. Can I feel them? Can I touch the debt? Can I touch the debt, Teresa?
Oh, yeah, yeah. It was over a million. Yeah. So it's like, so has Joe thanked you? She's like, yeah, but, you know, with the, you know, it's always got a backhand complaint. Like, you know, you know, like, you know, I never would have had to do this if I had to do it with you because I had to do it, you know? It's like that, you know? It's like that.
Yeah, I mean, like a backhanded compliment. And Dorinda's, damn you for saying Dorinda and getting that in my head. Dolores is like, you know what? He blames the show. That's it. He blames the show. Like, she did something to him by putting it on camera. And Melissa's like, yeah, he says that Teresa's to blame. And Dolores is like, you know what? And that's why he's going to want... Like hinting that he's going to want money. And Andy's like, oh. Now, if they get divorced, you think Joe is going to want money from Teresa? You do.
And Teresa's like, no, I don't think he's the type. I'm like, he just spent 4 years in jail and is living in a foreign country with no money. And he has rage issues. And he's also an idiot. What do you think is going to happen, Teresa?
Yeah. And Melissa's like, yeah, I don't think he'll come for her money, but my husband feels different. I was like, ooh. I love that Melissa thinks everyone's so afraid of her husband. Like, ooh, Joe Gorga. Yeah. Joe Gorga's mad at me. Oh, no.
And then it's like a people's court moment where Dandy's like, all right, well, then let's bring him out here. It's just an excuse for me to stare at his pecs again. All right, Joe Gorga, come on out. It's like, dun dun
dun dun.
They like installed a little gate just so he could like push it open to come through, and so like he comes in and then he and Andy exchange this super awkward bro dap hug. Did you notice that? It was so bizarre, especially since they just saw each other 5 minutes ago.
Yeah. I how do you hug Joe Gorga? I just think Andy was trying to keep his hands down so Joe Gorga couldn't be doing this like he does on Instagram when he has an inspirational quote above him. Hey, Andy, I'm back. A man who walked in your shoes spent $5 on tuna. Advice with Gorga. Grow with Gorga, huh? Huh, Andy? Subscribe and like, Andy.
Just because you don't think he's that type doesn't mean you can't have a typewriter. You know what I'm saying?
Andy?
Roll with Gorga.
It's like he's always, it's like somebody's always blown a dandelion in front of his face, and he's like looking at all the, he's trying to follow, he's trying to follow all the little white things floating around. He's like, all right, Andy, you know, you know what? Here's what I told my sister, huh? I was like, that guy, he's going to take your money, huh? Huh, Andy?
So Andy's like, so Joe Gerga, it's interesting what you said on the show. I mean, it was certainly the first time that I heard it that you didn't believe Joe Giudice treated Teresa well. I'm like, do you remember seasons 3 through now? Like, is this the first time you heard it, Andy Cohen?
Yeah.
Man, I mean, I know he likes those Grateful Dead concerts, but how much is he smoking up?
Yeah. And Joe's like, listen, Andy, huh? I'm not going to do nothing until he actually abuses her or something, like physically, you know, like a hit or something, you know? It's not like leaving the toilet seat down kind of abuse, you know? There's different kinds of abuse, Andy, basically, is what I'm saying, huh? Andy? And Andy's like, well, you know, Teresa, what do you think about your brother caring about you? What do you think about that, Teresa? That crazy? And she's like, I wanted more for myself, Andy. Oh, my God, his family's going to hate me, Andy.
But they hate you already, huh? They hate you already.
So then Joe's basically, we get the same content we've had for 3 years now. Like, can you believe Teresa actually went to jail? This is crazy.
Yeah, because Andy's asking Joe Giudice, what he thought about Joe Giudice's interview with Andy earlier, and you know, Joe Gorga's like, I didn't like it. He should have been begging and pleading, you know, for forgiveness, begging and pleading, you know, and you know, Melissa's like, he was very arrogant. I didn't like how arrogant he was, and Dolores is like, I was very upset. Mainly because Frank had spat on the TV. Wow. It's hard to see through that saliva. Just drips. Drips and drips of it.
Yeah, Melissa's like, yeah, when I stop twirling, is the wine like that? And then they show the clip of Joe just, like, beating the crap out of the wine in the wine glass. Like, ooh, yeah. She's like, when I saw him twirling that wine, I wanted to slap it out of his hand, Andy. And Dolores goes, he's dying inside. It's like, Dolores, you were doing so well. Can you take 5 minutes of your life when you're not standing up for the worst fucking men on earth? Let's just stop. Like, Dolores should stand up for serial killers. Like, Ted Bundy, what did he do except want a little love? All right?
Listen, as someone who is currently dating a mummy with no bandages, I can tell you from experience, he's dying inside.
He's dying inside, huh?
He's dying, okay? Someone get him a cat.
So Andy's like, all right, let's pretend I work for ICE. All right, let's... Okay, let's pretend you work for ICE, Andy. He's like, if I watch his show, why am I going to let him out of prison? It's like, what are you mad that Joe Giudice was complaining about the customer service at ICE? When he's like, yeah, you can't open the fucking window in here. What, huh? I try to open the window, now I'm in a shoe. Fuck this place. I give this place 0 stars on Yelp.
I just love the amount of importance Andy just, like, gives his own interview. He's like, I mean, when my interview was seen across the world, I was like, wow, Joe Giudice, why would you say those things? Everyone at ICE is watching right now.
I know Oprah Winfrey at ICE. He's just such a star fucker. He doesn't care who it is he knows as long as they're famous. He's like, hey, ICE has been in the news a lot. They watch my show.
Yeah. So then Teresa's talking about why Joe acts the way he does. So, you know, she has her full, like, fingers spread out as far. Her fingers are socially distancing. She's like, gotta keep them away from each other. Gotta keep them away. So, she, you know, when she talks, she does this thing, you know? And so she says, I think this is on the heels of her saying, oh, my God, his family's gonna hate me so much. And then she goes, I think that the way he was raised is why he was like this, you know? Like, I don't think that he had a lot of coddling and love. Like, I think he had bad parents, basically. Bad parenting, you know? You know, I'm like, well, so much for being worried about them hating you before.
He's like, yeah, well, Joe treated you like crap, and he's the reason you went to jail. So why is he so mean to you? That's what I want to know. Let's bring out Ice and ask her. She's bought a beautiful dress. And then Tree's like, you know, I don't want to coddle it. If I knew about the cheating, if I knew about that cheating, I would have done something about it, Andy, all right?
Like, yeah, Teresa, because
it was on camera where he's like, fuck my fucking cup fitness bitch wife. Ah, here she comes, the bitch, huh? Here she comes, the bitch.
Exactly. And by the way, in case you didn't remember that scene, Andy's like, okay, everyone, I'm going to take a painful look back. Yeah, let's dredge up some terrible memories for Teresa. So we get another montage of Joe, like, cheating and doing terrible things, whatever. And so, yeah, so
the
then...
The best part of that whole clip was Kim D being like, what, do you think she just don't know or she just don't care? And they're like, about what, Kim D? And she's like, come on, we all know, we all saw, we all heard, we all taste, we all drink, we all run, we all sleep, we all wake up in the morning, we all flip an egg. All right, come on.
This is her, like, rascally musical solo, you know? Like, if New Jersey were like, a musical, it's like, Kim D comes out, with like, a piano, it's like, dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun. We all know. We all see. But I say, what you think? Because I'm Kim. Kim D. And I say what I see.
I'm in. Bring Broadway back. I mean, Broadway needs some stuff right now. Everybody's had to cancel their shows. Just shove Kim D up there with the fucking piano player.
I've literally seen 3 Broadway musicals in the past 3 days. I am, like, so musical theater up right now.
I know.
Like,
I need to get on that Broadway HD and start watching. I want to see one. Did you see? I'm sorry. We're totally derailing this show.
It's fine.
Sorry, everybody. But I want to see the... And the governor of Texas, Ann Richards, with Holland Taylor. It's called Ann, and they've got the show up there. I have to see that.
Is that on Broadway HD?
Yeah.
Oh, I was looking. Maybe that'll be tomorrow's viewing.
Before I spend my sweet, sweet coin to watch Cats.
Oh, yeah, we're going to have a Cats moment. So far, we've watched Miss Saigon, yesterday, Falsettos, and then, although I didn't get to see the second act yet because we had to record. And then today was an absolutely awful musical called Holiday Inn, which is just like...
Yeah, it's painful.
The pits.
I'm glad you watched Falsettos, though. I love that show. Well, okay.
I know. I only saw the first act, so no spoilers for the second act. No falsetto spoilers, guys.
You guys, I know I'm touching my eyes. I'm so sorry, but I can't help it. I'm an eye booger factory. Okay, so Teresa's like,
nah, Andy, I didn't know nothing, Andy. If I knew, I'm such a bitch, Andy. If I had a walk in the eyes, what?
She starts, like, punching her. It's like, calm her down. You know, stop riling up Teresa. And so yeah. We get a lot of, like, did you believe Joe? Was Joe cheating? Does anybody believe Joe Judice would cheat? After, I mean, hot piece of ass. I'm going to touch your boobs against her. He's like, all right. Of course, everybody believes it. Yes.
Yeah. So, and then, so after all this, then Andy's like, so, Joe Gorga, I want to take off your shirt? Or how about this? You know what was interesting to me? Is that even though you couldn't stand Joe Judice, you were the one who was telling Teresa it was time for her to shake him free, let him have his freedom and let go, you know? I'm like, yeah, because he hates him. Of course he's going to do that. I guess Andy's point was that, like, Joe in that point, at that moment, was being empathetic towards Joe Judice. But yeah. I'm like, no, he was just like, finally, let's get this fucker out of our lives and send him to Italy. Please, yeah. Get him away.
And then Joe gets to do his self-help stuff where he's like, listen, here's what I say, Andy. I may not love the guy. No, that's wrong. All right, grow a Gorga. You know what? When you mess up your lines, don't get mad at yourself, Andy, all right? All right, here's what I say, Andy. I may not like the guy, but you know what? I know this guy my whole life, Andy. I don't gotta like him to love him, Andy. Grow a Gorga. Like and subscribe, Andy. Like and subscribe, all right?
Yeah, I don't have to like you, but I gotta love you. You know what I'm saying? So on that like inspirational note, we're like back to Danielle Staub, who's like, all right, here we go. All right. My demand remains. I must sit next to Andy Cohen.
This is Danielle.
She literally
listen here, Andy.
She's
I wrote down like, Danielle, the whatever light they have on Danielle, it looks like she's like a black hole sucking in the light. I've never seen a light shine on somebody that looks like darkness is being shined on somebody, if that makes any sense. She's like a dark hole. What are you putting a Costco card on your face?
I'm completing my Danielle Staub look. Okay. I have a Costco, that they call this look, Costco chic. I need to sit next to Andy Cohen, okay? I need to get, and if I'm not seated next to Andy, there's going to be a problem, okay? The game that no one else is playing and is not being televised, it has no published rules and no one else knows the rules to it, but the game ends here.
No. And they're like, you're on in five. You've got gum. You're like, you've got a piece of gum stuck to your upper lip. Okay, take care of that. Take care of that, ma'am. So then back on stage, Andy's like, welcome back. All right. Well, from living in a mansion to New Jersey to being behind bars, I was like, oh, Jesus, more? How much do I have to care that people went to jail? I don't care.
Seriously.
I don't care. Oh, my God. Anything, this makes me fight for the death penalty for stupid things. Crosswalk? Did you cross the crosswalk? Kill him. Kill him. Burn him alive.
And Andy goes, he's like, well, it just seems like him in Italy has brought the end of 5-year saga. It seems like this family can't catch a break. I'm like, can't catch a break from being punished for the fraud that they were doing. Yes, you're right.
They just can't catch a break. So what are the chances of him winning the current appeal? And who cares? Who cares? I don't care. The kids are sad. The kids are super sad. You know, let's feel for the children. I feel for the children, you know.
Well, my favorite part about all this, though, is that it was like the Cry Olympics. Because, you know, Teresa is like, she's like saying, like, I feel bad for the daughters. You know, I feel bad for the daughters. And then, like, Margaret is like, you know what? I need a tissue.
They're not even punishing Joe no more. They're punishing the daughters.
I need a tissue. And then, like, all of a sudden, everyone is, like, trying to out, like, blot their eyes. They're like,
I know.
I
this
want
is
a
what the screen looks like. It's like this. Like, tissues.
It looked like an Enya video. Just, like, a lot of fabric.
It's just tissues being passed. Everybody's trying to cry, but nobody is crying, okay? Let's get that straight.
Yeah.
And Marge is trying to cry, and it's so funny watching Marge try to cry because she can't hide what's on her face, right? She'll, like, roll her eyes. She'll be like, oh, and then she'll be like, like, you're poking yourself in the eye, okay? Stop. You're hurting yourself.
So then, so Andy's like, so has Joe thought about maybe relocating to Canada, which is a lot closer than Italy? You may not know that, but it is. And Teresa's like, nah, he's in Mexico on a fishing trip, and a guy's fishing trip in Mexico. And he's like, where do you get the money for that? And she's like, he's working. Just because sort of sense, everyone's doing that like side eye thing, like, what? He's working on what?
Yeah, exactly. He's like, yeah, you know what I'm going to do? Sports betting, Andy, eh? Wasn't that what he was going to do? He's like, sports betting with the guy betting the shoe.
Oh, yeah, something like that. And so, you know, Andy's like, what's he working on? She's like, I don't get involved. And apparently Joe had approached Teresa to, like, start some businesses together. And I think it is, like, actually one of the biggest miracles of all of Bravo history that Teresa had the sense to say, no, I will not start a business with you, Joe Giudice.
Yeah, no, of course not, Joe. So then Andy starts talking about, you know, is Joe going to try and steal your money or take your money? So we get to that some more. And then we get to the Italy thing. And Andy's like, so one thing that came up in my interview that Ice loved... God, I can't wait to have lunch with Ice. Is that you're not attracted to Joe anymore, so you wanted to wait until Italy to see if you had any feelings for him. How'd that work out? Did you have any feelings? No, Annie. Did you want his penis inside of you? Nah, Annie. Did you let him touch your boobs like I'm touching them right now? Did you? Nah, Annie. Oh, your boobs feel like 2 million, I'll tell you that much. All right, anybody else got a question for Ice?
I wish I could say you were exaggerating, but you really weren't. It was like a line of questioning that was literally like, did you have sex with him? Did you want to have sex with him? Was there a part of you that wanted to have sex with him? Did he want to have sex with you? Did you have to tell him no? What was it like to not have sex with him? Did you think about maybe you should have had sex with him? What was it like the first time you had sex with him before?
That's exactly what he was doing.
And then the first time you saw that,
sex with him, but Joe Gorga put his nuts in my hand right now, which he could do right now. All right, would you still have Joe with that sex with Joe? All right, tell me the truth now. Come on.
If the pool guy was there, would you have had sex with him? Would you have sex with the pool guy and Joe? What if they had sex and you watched? Which was the best scenario for you?
Yeah.
By the way,
and she's,
we should.
Oh, go ahead.
I just wanted to say also that the one flashback that I really appreciated that Bravo put in there, which was right before this, was Andy, again, trying to like make Joe Gorga angry at Joe Giudice. He goes, you know, Joe Giudice caused some serious problems between you and your dad and your sister. I mean, I guess we did too, but we just will pretend that we weren't part of that. But anyway, Joe Giudice caused all this problem with you and your dad. And then we got a flashback to the christening with Joe Gorga going, you're my father! You're my fucking father!
Yeah, that was one of the best episodes of all time of Jersey.
Of all the households.
Or the reunion where they had Rosie in the very backstage. She heard Teresa talking about her, and they were like, stay back, Rosie. They're like trying to hold her back, and you just hear Rosie going, oh, fucking girl!
That's a family that knows how to bellow.
No.
By the way, major fail on Andy's part. Did he not ask a single question about why Nona was making octopus at six in the morning? I don't think he did the entire reunion. That is the biggest fail of 2020.
He didn't even mention Nona. Nona got nothing. Nona got nothing. Shit. And you know, they're showing this like, oh, it's been 10 years. Let's show the 10 years of clips of me holding Joe Gorgon's nuts. Like, oh, right now. So they were showing all the clips. They didn't even show Rosie or Kathy or the twins.
They showed Rosie later on.
They did?
Believe it or not. Yeah,
sure
Rosie and Kathy
Lauren
did.
Sure it wasn't Lauren Kyriakis? Because I'm not convinced.
Are you sure it wasn't a page boy from one of those musicals you saw? No. No, Rosie and Kathy made it into the montage that was at the end of the show.
Oh, okay.
So anyway, yeah. So,
look at me. I'm just
so
mad at imaginary
like not having
things
sex
today, like usual, yeah. I guess.
So he just asks Teresa over and over and over again about the sex, and then she's like, yeah, he wasn't happy, and thank God I had Adriana there because she was a good cock blocker. I was like, that's funny, but the implication there is that if Adriana weren't there, was Joe gonna like force himself on her? Like, why was no one else slightly disturbed by that?
Dude, everything they say on Jersey is disturbing. It's like you have to let so much stuff go when you're watching New Jersey, because yeah, that was really fucking creepy. She's like, you know how, yeah. Man, and then Dolores is like, yeah, you, men don't like hearing no, Andy. All right? It's just men. You don't say no to women.
Yeah.
All right?
They're dying inside. They're dying. Fuck. Just get them an apple martini and some protein powder, and they'll be happy.
And Andy's like, well, how did he feel about that?
And
Trey's
like, not happy, Andy. Don't say no to a guy. And Dolores goes, she emasculated him, Andy. That's what happens.
No,
that's
she didn't. She stood up for herself. She's like, oh my God, I've been married to like Gargamel's cousin all these years, and I have a hot pool guy at home. I am so not turned on by this guy anymore.
Yeah. So they talk more about like whose fault was this that's not named Teresa or Joe? All right, let's try and come up with any other person to blame. All right. So they go around, and Joe Gorga's like, oh, my mom was sick. She was so sick, and then she was so sad, and then blah, blah, blah. So they talk about how Teresa was super upset because her mom died, and that's when she started getting really bitter towards Joe.
Yeah.
And Andy's like, will you please just divorce him?
Right. Yeah, he's like, Andy's basically like, so you think that Joe Giudice had a part in your mom's, you know? And Gorga's like, 1,000%, 1,000. I got a lot to say, but I can't. And Andy's like, I think you just did. You just see me, Gorga's like, what? Like, his mind is blown by that concept.
Yeah.
I said something?
And so Andy's like, all right, just when are you going to get divorced? And Teresa's like, I don't know, Andy. It seems like Joel procrastinating, Andy. Is anybody else surprised that Teresa knows these words suddenly, like procrastinating? Where the fuck did that come from?
Weird.
Who's been coaching Teresa?
I know, and she said judgment later on. I was like, that's so strange.
So Andy's like, will you change your name?
She didn't even misspell it.
G-U-G-G-M-I-N-T, Andy, all right? Jugment. That's when you only do someone if someone's got bigger jugs than you, Andy, all right?
Wow, sounds like someone who's probably having a lot of sex. Let's get them on the show. So yeah, so she's basically procrastinating, and everyone's like, you got to sign those divorce papers now before before he comes for the money. And it's like, so are you going to give up the Judas name? It's so pretty. Are you going to go back to Gorga? And she's like, no, Andy, I'm gonna wait till I take on the names of my new husband. That's what I'm going to do. So he's like, Teresa Cohen.
I don't like to get jealous of what people were born with because it's pointless. But how the fuck was this box of rocks gifted with that kind of self-confidence? I mean, it's just amazing to me. She's like,
who's the box? Yeah, which box of rocks?
My next rich Jewish husband, Andy. I'll take his name and have a baby.
God bless you. Where can you buy
that? She will, because she knows she always has that lawyer to as her backup plan. You know, I'm surprised that James Franklin, what's his name, James Franklin? I'm surprised he wasn't like leering behind the set. Like,
oh yeah, remember that old rumor that it was like the lawyer, like she was cheating with the lawyer, and the lawyer just kept showing up for every scene so he could be on camera.
James
like,
Leonard.
Hey, you know, I wanted to talk about the appeal. You got donuts? I love donuts. Sure. We okay over here?
He would like show up in like a sweatshirt and he'd be like in a sweatshirt and jeans, like super casual, but his hair would be so slicked back. It would just be like a helmet. I'm like, why did you do your hair so aggressively just to be in a sweatshirt?
Because when you have plugs, you have to be very careful because those are like, it's like putting one strand of grass into the mud at a time. You know, you're like, don't move. Don't blow it, wind. Don't blow it.
You got to lock it down. So Andy's like, well, I think you have a great love waiting for you. Hopefully it's the pool boy. Let's get him shirtless on the show next season. Thank you very much.
Yeah. So then Andy, they break for whatever. And Andy's like, control room. Hey, control room. Hi, control room.
Ground control to major control room.
We've watched this for 12 years or whatever. Don't pretend that you just always check in with the control room every time you get it.
Hey, control room.
Hey, control room full of women who told me that I was doing a great job on below deck. It's your fault I'm getting all this internet heat. Anyway, what's going on in there?
Hello, room of women to blame. It's me, Andy. Everything all right?
And Lauren Kyriakos is like, she's not coming out unless she sits next to you, Andy. And then we see Danielle in her dressing room.
Oh, shit. Where's my Danielle mask? I lost it.
Oh, wait. Where's my Costco card?
So we go back and she's like, I am not going to sit there, Andy, with all of those girls looking at me, all those faces. I didn't have to come. I did not have to come, Andy. And he's like,
I mean, look at that. It's a dog in a stroller. All right. Well, you look great. Hey, loser, Marty.
Hey, I think your dog's having a seizure down there. His eyes have turned into spirals. You might want to check on him. Fendi!
So he's like, hey, what's going on, Danielle? She's like, I need to be heard, Andy. I need to be heard.
She's acting like she's standing on the steps of the Supreme Court. Okay. So she's like, and he's like, yeah, and that's why you're here. You know, I'm totally not going to give you a fake and evil grin right now, despite whatever you're going to request. So she's like, I don't want to be seated anywhere except next to you. Because obviously Danielle has seen the Orange County reunion at this point and saw what Vicky pulled and was like, I'm going to pull that too. But Andy's like, why?
Yeah. Why? Why would you want to be near me? Which, like, he doesn't know. You know, it's power seating. And so she's like, you know what, Andy? Because last year I couldn't hear a thing that you said because every time I spoke, Trotmouth over there would start talking to me, Andy, and I just can't. And he goes, all right, well, I will talk loudly, but here's the other thing. I got Teresa in here, and I've got Marcus in there. I'm not going to put you next to Teresa because last time I was in this setting, I got pushed. And I'm not going to put you next to Margaret because there was a hair pull.
And by the way, when you said last time we were in this setting, I got pushed, which meant, of course, they like brought in that clip of Teresa knocking him into the chair, which they act as like just the most violent thing to ever happen on in the history of the world. And it's just like him just falling into a chair lightly. And he's like, whoa, I got pushed. I don't want that to happen again 10 years later.
I know, but I love that he's punishing also. I love also that he's punishing Danielle for the violence of Teresa. You know what I mean? It's like, well, she pushed me, so you can't sit next to me. Like, how does that make any sense? If that was a thing, then put Teresa behind, I don't know, put Teresa on the floor with, like, those little plastic, you know, strips around her arms or whatever. Like, tie her to a chair. Why are you letting her go away if she's the violent one?
Well, he's doing a classic Housewives thing, which is to come up with, like, the excuse of personal safety as a reason why not to film something. He's like, well, I wouldn't feel safe in this situation because last time that you and Teresa were too close to each other, I got pushed into a chair and creased my pants for about 5 seconds.
Yeah, well, it's like people who lie on train tracks. Does anybody really cry when they die? I mean, you know, their mom or whatever, but for the most part, you're like, well, you were lying on a train track. Like, there's a
what if
forest
they were tied?
Right next
what
to
if
it.
They were tied onto the train track by, like, an evil person in, like, a black
Andy is
mask.
Not tied to a train track, okay? Andy is purposely sitting in the middle of the fucking train track. And not only that, he owns the trains, too. He makes all the money off the train track. Stop sitting in the middle of the train track. Andy should be, like, at a check cash place behind thick white glass. Okay, that's where he should be. I'm not gonna feel bad for him sitting there and then getting run over by a train.
You know, when I was a kid, my mom told me, like, a nursery rhyme that, like, devastated me. It was like something about a peanut. There was a peanut that was sitting on the train tracks, heart a flutter, here comes the train, oops, peanut butter. And I was like, Mom, no. I was like, the poor peanut. The peanut got killed. God. And my mom was, like, laughing, like, oops, peanut butter. And I was like, Mom! No!
My mom would have smacked you on the back of the head and told you to get her some more Franzia, you little pussy. All right?
That poor peanut, like, it barely got it through to the eighth syllable of that rhyme before it was dead. So, anyway, the point is this. So then, so Andy's like, yeah, I can't have you next to Margaret. What's happening? What's
We're
wrong?
We're almost at an hour, everybody. Dun, dun, dun.
So how about this? Let's take a 30-second break to close out this session and then start a new one. We go to that.
And don't forget pause to press save, Ben. Don't forget to press save. It's very important, okay?
Commercials. Here comes one right now.
Come to Discotheque Pan-Europa. Open 24 hours. Hit the club at 7 a.m. Bring a friend. Bring your toddler. Bring your cat, your dog. Dress up. Wear a suit. Wear a chicken suit. Wear your birthday suit. Take your clothes off. Shake it on the dance floor. Dance with death. Actually dance with death. The Grim Reaper is here most nights. Meet a guy. Meet a girl. A girl ghost. A guy alien. Hook up in a closet. Set the closet on fire. It's lit. Discotheque Pan-Europa.
How do you play with life? Download The Sims today.
Take the magic of Disney's Frozen 2 with you anywhere.
It began with two sisters.
Into the unknown.
See Frozen 2 first on digital download.
Into the unknown.
The number one animated film of all time.
Promise me we do this together, okay?
I promise.
Watch instantly on all your devices, at home or on the go.
I believe in you, Elsa, more than anyone or anything.
Disney's Frozen 2. Available to download and keep now on Apple TV.
Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors.
Just saying, okay?
Christy Wowerty Dowerty.
Nobody socks it to us like Amy Socarellis.
Jamie, she has no last namey.
Let's go on a bender with Lauren Fender.
Sip some scotch with Jessica Trotch.
Let's run some errands with Emily Arend.
You're the Wyndham beneath our wings, Joe Wyndham.
Ashley Schiavone, she don't take no baloney.
You don't touch the Nicky Morgan letters.
Erin McNicholas, she don't miss no trickolas.
Kelly Barlow, when she goes Barlow, we go high-low.
Megan Berg, you can't have a burger without the bird.
Ain't no thing like Allison King.
He makes us squee, Richie D.
Sarah Greenwood, she only uses her power for good.
Hannah, God, I love that banana. Anderson.
Higher than high-res, it's Lauren Perez.
Ava Nagila Weber.
One day you're Rachel's in, and the next day, you're out.
The Bay Area Betches.
bitches.
And our super premium Patreon subscribers.
Let's take off with Tamala Plain.
Oops, she did it again. It's Brittany Montano.
Lisa Wallant. Now that's what I call Wallentainment.
Give them hell, Miss Noel.
Always ready for Nicole Passeretti.
Better than Tabbouleh, it's Annie and Julie.
Lourdes, the Lourdes of the Rings.
We're taking the gold with Brenda Silva.
We like her more than a smidge. It's Kelly Cartledge.
She's not just a Sheila, she's a Daniela. Etchels.
Is a frog's ass watertight? It's Rose and Sadie.
Let's go on a bender with Lauren Fender. Yes, we should with Carrie Bridgewood. Nancy Cease and Desisto.
Simple as rocket science, it's Dana Easy.
Kelly Stomp, the Stump Master.
Somebody get us 10 cc's of Betsy MD.
Let's get racy with Miss Stacy.
Shannon out of a cannon Anthony.
The incredible edible Matthew sisters.
Mina Coochie Coochie Coochie.
And she ain't no shrinking Violet Kuchar. We love you guys.
Okay, I press record again. We are back. So, as we were saying before, so Andy is sitting there. Andy is talking to Danielle, and he's like, well, I'm not going to sit you next to Teresa because I got pushed. And then last time you were next to Margaret, there was a hair pull and there was water. So, and Danielle's like, so move her to the end of the couch. He's like, is that what this conversation's about?
So that's what this is about. I'm moving Trout Mouth to the end. All right, let's see where you're coming
from. And then he becomes evil.
Here's the thing.
Yeah, she's like, I deserve the respect. I am leaving. I want to leave as I came in, Andy.
It's like, you know, behind a dumpster in the back of high school, I'm assuming.
Yeah. So Andy's like, well, here's the deal. Okay, I don't want to put you next to Teresa or Margaret. Because honestly, you're just not as famous as they are, and you're not even a full-time housewife, so you're so lucky that you're even getting this scene right now, all right? So what we're going to do is, we're going to dust off a tarp and scrunch it up until it looks like a chair and have you sit on that on the edge, okay?
Yeah, he's like, but I want you to know, Danielle, I want you to be heard, okay?
Which is such 2020 language. It's like, you're trash. I'm giving you zero respect. I'm getting you a fucking folding chair from the kids section back. All right. And but I hope that you know that I hear your feelings, okay?
I hear your feelings, and you're not famous enough for me to care about. So, your choice.
And then she just tosses something in the trash in defeat. Did you notice?
It's
like, I don't know, like a Diet Coke cap or something. Certs. She's like, oh, fa-bump. She's like a little fa-bump.
Yeah. And so then we see Margaret, like all the women are like standing around the couches and she's like, I have a feeling there's some Danielle drama. Okay. And she's such an asshole.
Such an asshole. All right. And Melissa's like, I don't want to deal with her again. Why do I have to deal with her? So then back in the dressing room, Marty's like,
they set it up so you can't have your say. It's very unfair, Danielle. They set it up so you can't even have your say.
She's like, shut up, Marty, you wuss. I know it. Just be quiet back there, okay?
And then she's like, I'm sorry I brought you into this mess. I'm like, there's literally no mess. Like, she's literally acting like she brought Marty into like a war zone, like into like 1992 Yugoslavia or something like that. Like you're backstage and you asked to sit next to Andy and he said no. There's no mess about it.
So back on set, Andy's like, all right, ladies, I want to make sure two things. Joe Gorga, get your nuts in my palm. Check. All right. And then I want to make sure that we, with Danielle coming out, that we don't. And Jen goes, annihilator, Andy. Annihilator. Is that what you mean, Andy? You don't want us to annihilate, Andy?
The way that Bill annihilates me all the time. Take me, Bill. So they start recording, and Danielle has her, like her full on scowl. She's like, not happy. Not happy. And I may have just stepped in a pool of saliva from Fendi. Not happy. Not happy at all.
Yeah. And Lauren Kyriakos is like, Danielle, it's now or never. But if you're ready, we got to go right now. And so Danielle's like, all right, I'm coming. And she gets and she walks as slowly as possible while she strolls her phone. She's like,
And then
so Andy's like, all right.
And then she does the most soap opera thing possible, by the way, which is to stand at the edge of the stage around the corner of like a curtain and just like listen in with this angry look on her face, you know, you're like, uh-oh, yeah. She's hearing everything.
She's like the evil abuela in the back, like waiting for a chance to catch grandkids doing the dirty.
Yeah.
So Andy's like, all right, phone's down. And Jen goes, tits up, Andy, tits up.
I just got mine done by my husband. So he's like,
hey,
Margaret, last year your relationship with Danielle went south, but I was surprised to see that you and Teresa went at it. Were you surprised, even though it was clearly the obvious play for our producers to pitch you two against each other?
Yes, I was surprised, Andy. I was shocked. I was surprised. I was limited. I was furious. I was upset. I was hurt. I was crushed. I was depressed. I was done. I was over. It was sad. It was sad. Yeah, it was sad.
And Teresa is like,
well, I thought that, you know, Margaret was like asking me to make a choice, you know, and like, that was like hard for me, you know. It was just like, you know, she didn't like, I don't have a problem with Danielle. She didn't do nothing to me, you know, until I decided to have a problem with her because I want, you know.
Teresa, I mean, it was because of her behavior towards everybody else on the show, Teresa. Do you understand that? I judge people by their character. Now, you, Teresa, you've been to prison. Your husband's in prison now. You take responsibility for anything. You've probably been having an affair on each other for years. You're a good person, is what I'm saying. Jennifer over there, she's a monster. She's a horrible human being. She's fake from head to toe. Love her. Good person. Do you understand what I'm saying? Yeah. I was like, not really.
Yeah. Margaret's like, I might fight with Jennifer, but you know what, though? She has a heart of gold. That's right, baby. I got gold in here, and I'm not stingy with it, okay? My kids, you know, are set up.
She's got a heart of gold, Andy, and she's got a face like a Pluto head at Disney World. You know, but it's the rubber, but it's huggable. And isn't that hot in the sun? That's what I'm saying, Andy.
Yeah, you ever go to like a theme park or like a science museum and you're walking on the sidewalk and you're like, wait a second, it's soft. And they put in sort of like that soft turf that you're like, whoa, it's a different kind of turf. That's what her face is. I love it. I love that for her. Heart of gold. I love her. She's great. She's great. She's awful, but she's great. You know what I'm saying, Andy? What are we talking about?
Yeah, Marge, but you gotta understand it here. Like, for me, like, when my mother died, she called me, like, every day, Marge, all right? She called me every day.
Well, I get a call from Shinshun every day. I don't know what it means. I'm gonna put it in Google Translate, because I get the voicemail every day. It's like, Shinshun, you know, it's like a
Shenyun.
Chinese or something. I don't know what it. I hope it's Shenyun, because, God, that's a huge show. I would be so excited if Shenyun was calling.
They're trying to recruit, like, you, Ronnie.
Bye!
I'm now.
Yeah, next time you see me, I'm like, I'm yelling my ass off.
The point is this: it's not the quantity of calls, it's the quality of calls, okay? Just because Danielle calls, I would actually be terrified if Danielle called me every single day. Hello, this is Danielle's talk calling. It's like that movie, It Follows. You know, it's like, no matter how far I walk away, I keep getting calls from Danielle Staub.
Your phone would never even ring. It would be like the Amber Alert thing where the phones just go, bruh, bruh.
Staub alert.
What the fuck? What the fuck?
Danielle Staub was last seen by a 7-Eleven.
Yeah, Staub alert.
So they put out a chair for Danielle. Like this, it's just really, it truly is just on the end. I mean, this is like as much of a token seat as possible. And so Danielle finally decides to make her big entrance. So she comes around and she sits down in the chair. And
Did you notice they Corona kissed? I thought it was really cute that Andy, it's like they knew the future and they Corona kissed. Yeah. They were like, here's our heads. They're like, kiss. Kiss. Not even close.
Social distancing. Personal
space kisses. Yeah.
So so Andy's like, so I hear you're cooking. How's that going? She's like, Andy, cooking is my emotional rescue. I don't know what I'm getting rescued from, but let me tell you something. Whenever I slice a zucchini, I'm like, I've been rescued.
Emotionally, Andy is my emotional rescue. And he's like, did anybody know that Danielle cooks? Because I fucking didn't. Isn't that crazy, Joe? Your nut just moved on its own, which is crazy. And she's Teresa's like,
yeah, one time she made me a bronzino, Andy's, all right? It tasted good.
And then they show like a flashback to Danielle serving Teresa a bronzino. was like, it's okay. I would have taken her word for it. I didn't need visual evidence. And then on top of that, when you see it, it's just like this giant fish on a small plate. Just like the tail and the head are hanging over it, which is exactly how I would imagine Daniel Staub would serve a fish. Make it look as unappetizing and scary as possible. Here, here's your fish. Boom. And the fish is just like...
I ate a branzino like that one time. A whole branzino. God, it is like Danielle. It's just a lot of bones. It's more
bones. So many bones.
Than it's worth it.
Yeah, the last time I had a branzino, I was like, I'm never doing this again. Because it's just nothing but bones. It's like... Yeah, you're just constantly picking bones out of your mouth. It's my emotional rescue!
Yeah, I feel like that is basically... Danielle's like theme of her next book. It's like so many bones, and what did you really get at the end of the day? Like the meat wasn't even that good, you know.
And then its sequel, it's not my fault there were bones, they came with it.
Theresa made me bone all those bones.
Don't blame me for the bones.
So let's see, so, Oliver?
Yeah, Andy's
absolutely
like...
Absolutely not.
Yeah,
oh,
Andy's
yes,
like,
yes, yes.
And he's like, so what's going on with Oliver? Because I feel like we really needed Duchess Danielle, which, by the way, is something I really agree with Andy about. And she's like, well, no, absolutely not. Absolutely not with Oliver anymore. He wasn't well. I tried to take care of him for months, and I got him into a facility and visited him as much as I could. But in the end, I had to take care of me instead of other people. I was like, you drugged him with something, put him into a facility, and tried to get that money. And then there was his family came and was like, you can't have that money. So he went back to Marty, which is why you're trying to buy back that house.
I know. You gotta love... Danielle is just fucking nuts. You know, on these shows, you're always watching them thinking, oh, well, they're just crazy. No, this bitch is literally nuts, okay? She kidnapped a Duke, drugged it, allegedly. I read it on the blogs. I heard it from the most famous housewife, Sashawn Madia. Don't sue me.
Yeah.
But yeah, drugged him out. No one could get a hold of him. Wow. I mean, it was a good storyline.
She basically
but that's
is
what
like,
I'm saying. So many bones, but she never pulls off the meat. You know, was that number 20, that fiance, or was it number 19?
I think that was number 19. I'm number 20 because I think she was at, I don't know, maybe it was 19 or 20.
I think it was 20 because that's a lot of boning. You know, that's just what I'm saying. It's a lot of bones for what? Now you get kind of a house that you could buy in the future if you ever find the money, which you're not. She's like, just, where are you going to find the money to buy a $1 million house?
She's just a very ineffective femme fatale, which is what makes it all so sad. You know, like, I'm like waiting for her to be portrayed by Linda Fiorentino, but she has to give Linda something good to work with, okay? Like, you can't just
Linda
like,
Fiorentino's like, hell no. She would have been engaged four times, and each one of those men would be dead while she has all their money.
Linda Fiorentino's like, so after she put the Duke in the facility, she got all the money, right? No, she actually went back to a suburban home with a guy named Marty Caffrey, and she's trying to buy it back. What? This is the femme fatale.
Yeah.
It's like, she just has the script.
You know, this is why they lie. This is why they add things to true stories, okay?
Yeah, well, whatever. Oh, I like the idea. You know, she was totally poisoning that. You know, it was totally like a Get Out situation. You know, she's like, I'm taking him to the, putting him in the Jersey place, you know? It's just like the Duke is just like, swelling down to the nowhere.
Yeah. Oh, God. Okay, so then we get a Danielle montage, because he's like, so, Danielle, so this week you went from filing divorce to make up sex. What's with that? And Marge is like... It's like shaking her face.
There aren't enough...
So then we get enough, Danielle.
There aren't enough whales to put on this story to make me angry. Right now. I'm so furious.
You could put on Blackfish right now, and I'd laugh. All right, I'll tell you that. Right.
Like, literally, you could put the end of Pinocchio on repeat, and I'd be like, this is the best thing I've ever seen at this point. Okay.
So we get a Danielle montage, spreading rumor, you know, Marge coming into Marty and being like, there is no fucking way, Marty, that you're going to get back with that girl. She can tell you right there, right, John? Jones on my side, Marty, all right?
Yeah, she's like, so Danielle starts saying that she and Marty are actually like really good friends now. And she's, and it's like, well, why, how did he go back to that? And she goes, you know what, Andy? We both said things. Mine were out loud. His were internally, publicly, that we shouldn't have. And Andy's like, but you said he was was he abusive? And she goes, that's something I'm not willing to talk about because abuse is a very broad, it's a very, very broad word. And unless I'm actively going through a divorce and can be speaking to TMZ, it's not something I'm willing to talk about. No.
Yeah, it's a very broad word, Andy. You know, that could mean a lot of things. And he's like, but you said it. And she goes, well, I'm not denying saying it, Andy. Sorry, I was in March still. Yeah. She's like, I'm not denying saying it, Andy, but I'm not going to talk about it amongst a group of people who really don't care. And Marge goes, ha, okay. Okay.
Okay. So she goes, okay. Margaret was the cause of my divorce, okay? She feels... Sorry, I'm doing Margaret's voice. I'm just happened to be... Margaret feels entitled to tell a man that I was married to, basically forbidding him to be married to me. Margaret's like, hello, crazy person. Okay, let me tell you something. All right, you already divorced when I told this to Marty. Okay, you were already dating Oliver. Okay, it wasn't crazy. I didn't cause your divorce, all right? And Andy's like, you were saying that she was harmful to your marriage, but you were already divorced at that point. And Danielle goes, you don't get to say when I was divorced.
And Marta's like, all right, you know what? You should know this already, Miss Married 19 times. And she goes, all right, Miss Cheated on your husband with a contractor. And now you just jump into bed with them again and again every time. You don't get to do that to me. She's married to him.
You know, Danielle, one of Danielle's greatest strengths is filling in the blank with, you don't get to blank. I love when she does that. But this one really was a bridge too far. I mean, saying, you don't get to say what I divorced, Margaret. I'm like, they're legal documents. Remember? It's like pretty much in stone.
Marge's like, I don't care if you make contracted jokes. What do I care? And she's like, oh, well, you don't get to talk like that to me. You don't want to talk about your shit. We don't talk about mine. And Andy's like,
but let me ask you this, all right? Marty's his own man. Does he, Marty, actually, could you undo that rope around Marty's neck? He's trying to pee on that chair over there and can't quite reach it. All right, good job. So Marty's his own man, but does Marge really have that much influence? And she goes,
she did, because I trusted her and I opened up to her. And she betrayed me. And how's that answering the question? Just answer the question.
How did Margaret betray her anyway? Did she brainwash him? Yeah. It's always been like a little strange to me how Danielle and Margaret fell out, because it seemed like everything was going fine. And then Danielle was being crazy during the wedding, but it didn't seem like, believe it or not, I never really thought she was being so over the top crazy that'd be the end of a friendship. It was just like, it seemed like Margaret was getting annoyed with her and Danielle was being annoying. And then all of a sudden they just hated each other. It was so bizarre to me. I still don't understand it to this
day.
Danielle
was so disgusting at that wedding, and Marge was like, all right, I'm done. That's it. I've had it with her.
By the way, unpopular opinion, I don't want Danielle to go away. I mean, she is like, I mean, I feel like shows like this, they need their Wicked Witch of the West, okay? I think Danielle serves such an important role on this show, and I'm so sad that her unique brand of crazy is leaving us, because I think she's great as this person. This like dark cloud that sometimes comes on every few episodes and gets them all mad and then goes away. Like, it's
she's
perfect.
Good in this
and
capacity.
She's so melodramatic and ridiculous. Like, I really think it's like, it's a shame. It's a shame.
It is a shame. But you know what? Thankfully, what we've learned from these shows is it's like The Walking Dead. You know, it can get to the end of the season. They're like, oh my God, we got away from that zombie. And then they find out there's 100,000 zombies behind a wall.
It is Jersey. Know?
There's always a bigger, terrible person behind the wall.
There's always hope for Kim D. And G.
So, yes, there really is.
They do have great monsters on this show. Wow. So then, hey, Victoria from Edison wants to know, Danielle, why are you quitting this show? I didn't say I'm quitting. I said I'm resigning.
What are you resigning from? What are you talking about? All right, you don't have a job. All right, what are you
12 years of this. 12 years of this.
12 years. What show? What show do you think you were on for 12 years, Danielle?
You were cast 3 years ago. So relax. Mind your own business. Resigned.
That's all right. I don't need to be an original granny, right?
Yeah, you will never be an OG. Granny. You will never be an OG. Never. Never an OG, okay?
I don't need to be an original granny like you. And so Andy's like, Agatha! And Danielle's like, I don't look like a granny. Agatha! You look beautiful. Actually,
Agatha,
you look beautiful. Agatha!
I don't look like a granny at all. I look like a hot mom of two generations above your mom.
Well, Agatha. Well, actually, you know, you don't look like a granny at all. You look like a Granny Smith apple, rotten on the inside and on the outside. All right. Agatha.
Let me tell you Agatha. Something. You look beautiful, okay? It's your outsides. Your outsides aren't the problem. Okay, hey, I done that? Have I done the cover thing yet? The thing, like, no, your cover's great. It's the inside that's, I did that one last episode. I did. Okay, all right.
But
all
Agatha right. Thing,
you don't get to do that.
You don't get to say Agatha. When I'm resigned. I didn't resign. I quit.
You need to be shellacked from the inside. Well, Agatha. Is basically what happened.
Agatha, Agatha. That's the name of the musical that Kim D is in. Agatha, Agatha.
It was so funny. He couldn't get it out. And finally, he's like, Agatha from Augusta.
Anybody? Anybody? All right. Agatha from Augusta said, Tree, you spent the whole season defending Danielle. Do you regret that? And she's like,
Yeah. I mean, yeah, you girls, I mean, Danielle, I mean, you, like, Kit Kat bars are, like, sometimes, like, a stapler, you gotta, like, you know, like, a car goes driving, you ever see a crow, paper,
and then they go to commercial, and then we come back, and he's like, did you regret that? And she's like,
Well, Andy, the public.
She's like, yes, because people got mad at me online, so yeah. I regret it. It's her answer in case anybody didn't understand her.
Yeah, by the way, I just want to talk about that for 1 second. I don't believe that she truly was that upset about Danielle. I think she just saw that this is the way it was going. Like, she had no support from the cast, and I think that she basically buried Danielle. Even though I don't think she even had to, but I think that she buried Danielle for her own advancement on the show in some weird way, right?
Well, yeah, because she was caught, but I think she was mad at Danielle because this is like playing a game with somebody, you know? And It's like, okay, let's lie together and I'll never give you up. Okay, we'll just stick with it. We'll just stick with it. And then, you know, Danielle blew it. And Teresa's like, yeah, well, you proved everything right. You proved everyone right, Danielle. Everything they said about you. She's like, you don't get to double. And she's like, yeah, but you still did it, you know? And she goes, yeah, I did it.
I just feel like we've seen Teresa when she hates someone, when she's really mad at someone. I mean, look at Kathy. Look at Melissa for several seasons. Look at Rose. Like, all of them. She treats people that she's really, truly angry at differently than people. Like, the way she was reacted towards Danielle, I'm not saying that they are secretly friends. I feel like she's doing this because she feels she has to. I think she doesn't even care enough about Danielle. I think she's sort of ambivalent about her.
I think she just didn't know. I think she's already known that Danielle's trash and Danielle's not going away. She keeps coming back on the show. So it was like a calmer truce, you know? It was the second time around. So she was like, all right, so we'll make this truce and I'll have somebody on my side to go for these bitches I hate, like Marge, who comes in and is all popular and all this stuff. She's taking all my shine. So she hates people like Marge and Melissa, you know? So Danielle will do all her dirty work. So I don't think she was really mad as much as she was just like, fuck, you know? This was a rough bet for me to make, and I did lose this.
Yeah,
bet.
Yeah. Like, that's what I'm saying. It was like, all right. Anyway, so Teresa, I do think that Teresa does sense that people really like Margaret, and she doesn't want to, like, get on the wrong side of the people. So Teresa starts doing, like, an apology thing to Margaret, and she's like,
Margaret, you didn't deserve to get your hair. I just pulled it out and stuff. So, but like, you know, you did.
Oh, wait, I guess I don't think that she said that. I think that was a question from someone. But maybe Teresa was reading it in my mind. Someone said, Margaret, you didn't deserve to get your hair pulled, but you did provoke Danielle.
You did provoke her, right. And Marge is like, all right, I shouldn't have thrown the water. I was afraid she would do something violent, and I was correct. She did something violent. And Danielle's like, so you pour water on me and make a joke about it. She's like, you cannot provoke a rabid dog, Ed. You cannot provoke a rabid dog. All right,
you can't provoke it.
You threw wine on me and Cabo. Come on.
You can't provoke a rabid dog. All right.
Rabbit dog with a bone. Rabbit dog with a bone. Trap a dog with a bone.
Trap a dog with a bone. You came in there with the intention. She's like, you threw red wine on me for no reason. She's like, oh, but you talked about my children. Oh, I did not talk about your children. Yeah, you did. You talked about my children. She goes, I did not. I said that your children don't have a relationship with you, and you should be home watching your own children. She goes, that's talking about my children.
I wasn't talking about your children. I was just saying your children probably have terrible lives because they don't have a good mother in their lives. Ah, that's literally talking about my children. Literally talking about them. So,
oh, yeah. Well, the only story you ever tell is a story that's wrong about me, and you don't know enough about me to get to do that much.
What story is that? Like Hansel and Gretel? Okay, congratulations, you ate some children. So, Margaret's like, you're a loose cannon who's dangerous, and I wish you well. I wish you well. I love when she does that. Sometimes she'll just be yelling at someone and say, I wish you well. You know what you are? You're an unstable person, psychotic. You're probably going to kill a lot of people. You made a lot of people unhappy, and I wish you well. I wish you well.
Wish you well. I wish you well. You're very beautiful. I wish you well. You're terrible.
You're beautiful on the outside. You're terrible on the inside. I wish you well. So
then they're screaming back about who has remorse and who physically assaulted who. And Andy asked Danielle, so do you have remorse? And she's like, no, because you came at me for 2 years with that story, calling me a prostitute when I told you how it hurt me. And I told you what Beverly meant.
I told you what Beverly meant, and I can fight it in you.
You don't get to say I'm a loose cannon.
You don't get to say Beverly, and you don't get to say prostitute, and I don't get to tell you about abuse, okay?
So she has this huge monologue about, oh, Beverly and the trials of Beverly. And Marge is like, oh, but you know what? Here's what I think it is. She goes, you don't stop speaking when I speak, yeah, you say, Andy.
Stop speaking! Stop speaking when I speak! I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear it. I wish you well. I wish you well. And Danielle's like, see, Andy? See, this is what I mean. She will not let me speak. And if only I could hear what everyone was saying on account of sudden hearing loss, I don't know what's happening. You don't get to tell me about what's wrong with my ears.
You don't get to tell. And Andy's like, all right, can we just... All right. So, Nora from Myrtle Beach said, Tree, Marge threw red wine on Danielle over a year ago, and water wouldn't hurt anyone. So how could you use it to justify assault? Tree... And she's like, I didn't. And Danielle goes, did you see her water? Her face when she poured water on me.
Do you know how hard it was for Jennifer Beals to do flash dance? Do you know how hard it was for her? Now imagine what I went through.
Oh, God. So Marge is like, oh, geez, you told her to pull my hair. And she's like,
I got caught up in the moment, and then Joe was like, sign this, and then I signed it, and I wasn't even looking at you. I didn't even know the hair was gotten that pulled it in, and then I saw it on TV, and I was like, oh, Maro. I mean, look, Danielle, it was a traumatic event when she got her hair pulled. She brought a mannequin to the reunion. Kim Cattrall is not nice, Andy, right?
We can make it together, saving words together. Nothing gonna stop us now, Andy.
So,
and Andy's like, well, all right, we got a tweet from Jacqueline. And Danielle goes, I'm not surprised.
Not surprised. You don't get to tell me about Jacqueline's social media. So the tweet, I wrote it down, says, it's interesting to me that Danielle Slob prosecuted my 18-year-old daughter, even though it was widely recognized that she was a monster, for pulling her weave when she, as an adult, ripped out Margaret Joseph's hair in a tantrum. God, I hope Margaret brings a mannequin head to the reunion to demonstrate the attack and sues her ass.
And Andy's like, did you try to prosecute her? And she's like, I did, because Andy... I was in the hospital. I was very hurt in the hospital. And he's like, so you were hurt. Okay, so then why'd you do the same thing to Margaret? And she goes, because she'd been poking at me. Oh, I didn't poke Jacqueline or her kid. The circumstances leading up to the hair pulls were very different, Andy.
Case dismissed. You don't get to tell me about verdicts, okay? So Teresa's like, she's like,
well, I didn't know that she had pulled her hair like that, you know? I think I had turned my back, so I, you know, it's like, I didn't even know. I, like, you know, I thought I was at McDonald's, to be honest. I was trying to order off the extra value meals, you know?
And then they show footage of Danielle pulling the hair, and they zoom in on Teresa in the background, just watching and laughing. Like,
she's like,
look at that.
Her mouth is wide open, and she's cracking up watching every second of it.
I don't think I saw it, though. I don't think I saw it.
No, no. So if he's like, what's your reaction to that, Marge?
Ooh, well, by the way, Teresa says, if I had seen it, I think I would have stopped it right then and there. I would have stopped it right then and there.
He's like, Marge, what's your reaction? She's like, you know what? It upsets me to the core, Randy. All right. Look, I've never done one thing to you. All right. And everyone said, what did you do to Tree? All right. What if she had scissors? What if she had a gun? What if she had scissors? What if she had a gun?
Like, what if she had a chainsaw? Okay. Then what happens? What happens then? We're just going to ignore that. What if she has a what if she has a machete in her? And all of a sudden she has a machete and suddenly this is all still funny? I don't think it's funny.
What if she had telekinesis, Teresa? All right. What if she had a big iron red suit? All right. That she could fly in. All right. What about that?
What if she had like a giant club that had nails in it? Okay. What if she had that? Okay. What if she had a mace? All right. All right. Okay. Here's a question. Riddle me this. Okay. What if she had that thing that if you touch it, you die? Okay, what if? What if then? Okay? Okay.
And Teresa's just like,
well, you know what? All right. Look. Bling, 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 bling. I ain't gonna blame it on the alcohol. It's just that I was really drunk in it, and you guys all saw it.
They're like, okay, Teresa.
So, So now they go to. So now it moves on to the Jersey Shore situation when, you know, the whole situation happened with Danielle. It comes out that, you know, like Teresa's spot gets blown up, and so it's like, why did Teresa like break up her relationship with Danielle? And Teresa's sort of sitting there, and then Jennifer is like, because she told on her, and then she smiles like, look at me, I got one. What about you, Jack? You haven't even said anything all this hour. Yeah, I said something.
She goes, yeah, well, basically, Danielle goes, what are you saying? Teresa, you're saying, Teresa said she's not a loyal friend. And Danielle goes, loyal. And Andy goes, she said she ended your relationship because you ratted her out. And Danielle goes, I don't like the language. She ratted her
she's
out.
She's a semantics queen and tonight. I didn't quit. I resigned. Like, okay. I don't like saying ratted out. Abuse is a very broad word.
But you ratted her out. That's why she said it. And she goes, no, ratting out is when the police come and then you go to jail. That's ratting out, Jen. She's, no, it's also telling on someone, okay? That's where it derives from. Telling on someone.
Who do you think you are, Beverly Hills Cop? Okay, that's too much. Okay, that's all too right. Much. Too much.
Beverly. Oh,
wow.
God.
You know how much I hate that word. I can't even go to Los Angeles.
Yeah, Teresa's like,
I was loyal to you. I was so loyal.
She's, you were, and I was loyal to you. She's,
nah, you weren't loyal at the end.
She's like, after all we'd been through, I didn't think this would be the end of our friendship. I did. I really did.
After all the who we've been through, I will make it up to you. I promise you. So Teresa's,
I believe the children are future. Teach them well and let them lead the way, Andy.
Andy, let the river run. Let all the children.
Damn you. Let the river run.
And all the rats can go to
damn
New
you.
York. So...
Okay, so are you able to forgive Teresa, Marge? And she's like, well, you know, but after watching it on TV, Andy, it was violent, Andy. All right, Lexi was crying. You know, she's paid $15 an hour, but she was crying. My mother was crying. You know, Joe wasn't crying. Actually, Joe wasn't doing anything. Actually,
Jody from down the street, Jody number one was crying. Jody number two was not crying because her oven was broken. But let me tell you something. It was such an awful thing. It was so awful. It was so terrible to relive it. I'm so glad that I invited all my close family and friends to come and watch it with me. Okay, Marlene, she was beside herself. Okay, she stopped dancing for all of 5 seconds. Okay, she was terrible. It was terrible for all of us. And Lexi, yeah, I mean, God bless her.
And why couldn't Teresa, like, you know what, Teresa, why couldn't you just call me and say, like, I see what I did now. I see what I did. You know, we're watching these episodes. Why didn't she call me? And Teresa's like,
I wanted to see you in person, did it, so I could, come on, let's hug.
Yeah. So Teresa's not going to, well, Teresa just basically rolls over, which is very rare for her.
She does. That's what was so surprising, because she's like, I was devastated too when I saw it. And so she stands up because Margaret's like, I was having a freak out. I was like, oh my God, you didn't even call me. I was sitting there waiting by the telephone for 2 months, waiting by the telephone. Turns out Lexi didn't pay the bills. So honest mistake. But I still would have liked you to like maybe send like a snail mail, which no, Teresa does not involve sending snails in the mail. No.
And Teresa's like,
well, it was a bad judgment. It didn't cool. And I tell my kids, look, when you hang out with someone bad, you do bad things.
And they got to Danielle being like, it was just like this amazing moment of shade from Teresa.
I was like,
and I don't know why Danielle's so shocked. That's been Teresa's storyline for years now. I mean, that's still her storyline with Joe. Like, I didn't know. It's just that I was with Joe, and he was bad. I had nothing to do with anything.
You know what? I'm going to take a picture of Danielle, and this way I'll always remember if you hang out with someone like her, you're going to wind up in a bad place. That's all, and I'm going to show it to all the children.
Yeah. And Danielle's like, I was there for you with your mother. And she's like,
but Marge was there with the wreath.
Yeah.
So then Danielle is shown the picture. And he's like, so 12 years ago, Danielle, you were one of the original girls. You were right back there, remember?
Yeah.
And they show the picture. And he's like, so as an OG, what do you want to say?
And she has a monologue that I just loved. I wrote it all down word for word.
Okay,
could you cue the dramatic strings, please? Okay. I just want to really be so graciously thankful to all the fans that have stuck by me. And there were a lot of people that relate to me that have been through abuse, Broadwood, and any kind of bullying or harassment. And it seems to me that if you don't fit in with a crowd, you should just really leave. I thought that over time. I bounced through relationships amongst the group, and I thought I was doing well. And it turns out I wasn't. I had to find out what it is that makes me super happy. And I can't do that around people that don't really like me. Thank you very much.
Yeah, that was very touching, Danielle. Very, very touching.
Beautiful.
So Andy's like, it takes strength to come to the realization that people just don't like you, Danielle. Thanks so much for coming. I have a feeling this won't be the last time we see you, Mariah.
That's right, Andy, because I'm already dead. I'm basically an undead being, so you can't get rid of me.
I died 4 seasons ago, Andy.
You don't get to tell me when I died.
And we're back!
All right, it's been 10 long years.
Since this reunion began. Gosh, how things
have changed. Hairstyles, fashion, felon status, faces. Jennifer's changed her face 9 times in this reunion. Let's look at the table and take a look.
He goes, you've proven that Jersey girls only get better with age. I'm like, well, they've gone to jail. Relationships have broken up. Families have been torn apart. So, yeah, I got real butter. So we see this montage, which was fun through the years. I was very disappointed. Unless I missed it, I feel like I did not get to see Teresa doing her classic,
I'm from Patterson. Did you forget?
Which is one of my all-time favorite moments of the show. They didn't do that, but it was still fun to see all the that the all the people that have come and gone. We did not see Dina Manzo, and we did not see, I don't think we saw anyone from that weird.
We didn't see the twins Yeah, I was going to say the Bellinos, but the Marchesis.
I'm okay with that.
But I did like, did you notice that they were like stabbing Teresa a little bit in this montage? Because the whole thing was her looking like an idiot, which is the show. But then the very last thing is Marge going, yes, it's the pool.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, they gave Marge the last line.
Yeah.
Just to rile Teresa up for next season.
So Andy's like, well, we've decided to celebrate by building a time capsule, and we're going to open it up 10 years from now on season 20 of Real Housewives of New Jersey. So we've asked everyone to bring something to put in here. Joe Gorga, do you want to donate one of your last three sperm? I can help you get it out of you. Anything? Nope.
Yeah, this was sad because it was like one of those like Red Bull containers that you see at like sporting events, you know?
Yes.
It's just like a big plastic like cooler that they bedazzled. And 2030, I don't know, guys. But you know what?
I'm into it.
I've got to recognize your self-confidence. So, they start putting in stuff in there. And who goes first, Ben?
So, Dolores.
Dolores is like, I brought a romance novel of me and Frank, all right? It says, it's the ex without the sex or the sex husband. I don't know. What the fuck do I know, Andy? You know what? I wanted to bring pebble tiles, but Frank said it was too expensive.
I asked Maz. I was like, Maz, can you give me a towel or something from the gym? And he's like, you know what? How about you show up for work for once? I said, I can't come to work, Maz, okay? I've been walking from the living room to the kitchen to the living room. Frankie's getting blowjobs upstairs. I think I just heard a ding just now. He left pasta all over the countertop. There's pebble tile everywhere. David, I don't know. He parks his motorcycle in the living room, but I haven't seen him in 3 weeks. I don't know what's going on.
He was dying inside. So then
I'm eviscerated.
They go to Jen is like, I'm going to put my Sarah, not Sarah shirt in there, Andy. Because people loved it. And it was a shirt. And I said it. Sorry, not sorry, all right? Get some better kids' parties, all right?
You'll notice that when I put something in the time capsule, I don't just put in pizza and Nutella cake, okay? I got something for the adults, too, in the time capsule. So Margaret... She has her ponytail wig. She's like, you know what? When I first came out, everyone was like obsessed with the pigtails. They were obsessed with the pigs. So you know what? Here it is. Okay, I'm putting it in there. And there you go. Pigtails
in
there.
Here's the pigs, Andy. Yeah. Put them in there. And then Jackie, this one was awkward.
I did not like this one. I did not. For three different layers of reasons.
There's so many reasons. Okay, Jackie's like, because of my eating disorder, Andy, I'm putting in donuts, and we're all going to eat one together, and you're all going to see me eat something. It's like, A, one donut proves nothing, okay?
Yes.
Unless we get to follow you around all night. And second of all, who cares? Why are you giving people power over your eating disorder? It's weird. Third, you're going to get bugs in Marge's wig, do keep this for 30 years, it's going to decompose.
Why are you putting something perishable in the time capsule? That's going to be terrible. You have ruined this time capsule. Like, why are you doing that?
Marge is going to put on that wig in 30 years, and there's going to be, like, worms coming out of her eyes, you know?
We don't need, like 10-year decomposed donuts in there. Take the donuts out of the box, maybe. Or something like that. Like, why did she not put, like, her article that she wrote about Jennifer's house? Or, like, I don't know, like, a few $1,000 in there. Let's just put anything other than that. But like,
and she's bringing donuts for her eating disorder storyline, which was so sad. It was such a sad storyline. And she's bringing donuts and then making us look at everyone else's eating disorder. Because you know that everybody looked at those donuts like, fuck this bitch. I'm taking her down. How dare she make me eat a donut on national TV? They all did this with their donut. They were like...
I know that, yeah. They're,
and then they put
it's like
it
a
down.
Dare. Yeah. And by the way, it also made me really want to have a donut. And I'm like, basically not going outside. I'm like, fuck you. I can't get donuts right now because, you know, apocalypse. So then Melissa's like, well, I brought something that's so hilarious and will perhaps finally give me personality. It's a bunch of Jersey-isms like forget about it and use and... Oh, it's another one that says use. We're going to put those in.
But then her storyline is as shallow and fake as her real, you know, like it's the thing that she's putting in the time capsule. Like, it has nothing to do with you. Nobody would know where this thing came from. Just like all your fake ass storylines. And that is one thing Jennifer had correct. Now, all that said, I did like Melissa better this year, I have to
say.
Oh,
no, she was great. I actually thought she was great this year, and I loved every time she popped off.
She was great this year.
But I actually was surprised that she didn't put, like, a shirt from Envy, or, like, what she really should have done was a CD single of On Display. That would have been very well received by me.
That would have been good, yes.
And then Teresa takes out her thing, her contribution is she has this very lovely family portrait. It's of Teresa, her mom, her dearly departed mother, and Melissa, and then all the kids. And it's a very cute thing. She's like, well, if it wasn't for this show, I wouldn't have had this portrait. And it's like in this giant, tacky gold frame. It's so enormous that then she's like trying to put it in the time capsule. It's like,
it's crushing all the donuts down.
It's just going to get wedged in there.
Yeah, Danielle gets to put nothing. And that brings us to the end of the season of Real Housewives of New Jersey. I almost said Beverly Hills. New Jersey.
How could you? You don't get to tell me when it's the end of a season. Well, you guys.
This was such a fun show.
Yes. Thank you.
It was such a fun season. Really fun season to recap.
Yes. Thank you guys for all tuning in to our big Instagram live show. And I hope you didn't get too drunk. And everyone stay safe and continue to socially distance and clean your hands. And be careful out there.
Yeah, we love you guys. Stay safe. We need you. We love you. We'll talk to you on the flip side. Also, we'll probably start doing more of these live things. So check, you know, I know we say Patreon all the time, but we do post our videos and stuff there all the time. Thanks to you all for supporting us. Take care of yourselves. We will be back with a surprise for you tomorrow.
Okay.
Bye.
Bye, everybody.
Whoa. We love you. Bye. Bye.
Take the magic of Disney's Frozen 2 with you anywhere.
It began with two sisters.
Into the unknown.
See Frozen 2 first on digital download.
Into the unknown.
The number one animated film of all time.
Promise me we do this together, okay?
I promise.
Watch instantly on all your devices, at home or on the go.
I believe in you, Elsa. More than anyone or anything.
Disney's Frozen 2. Available to download and keep now on Apple TV.
Immediately, obviously, post-heart attack, it was like, I'm really not ready for any kind of sexual activity. But we did other things, you know.
Scrabble.
I had the pleasure of speaking to three fabulous ladies about what life is really like after a life-changing event like a heart attack. We talk spirituality, relationships, mental health, and Scrabble. Join me, Lucy Mangan, for the Ticker Tapes from the British Heart Foundation. Available now on your favourite podcast platform.